This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Two of What's On Your Mind, brought to you by our friends at Action Movers, now offering the lowest local move rate in North Dakota. Lowest advertised rate in 20 years. Here's the deal. $99 an hour for two men in a truck when you mention Scott. Okay? Not only the lowest local move rate, but the best movers in the state, professionally trained, background check. Action Movers, North Dakota's best moving company since 1932. Family-owned, veteran-owned, family and veteran-owned. Call them at 701-566-5532. Again, mention Scott and take advantage of the offer. $99 an hour for two men in a truck when you mention Scott at aactionmovers.com. Aactionmovers.com is the website. Serving, of course, offices in Bismarck, Fargo, Minot, 701-566-5532. What's on your mind? Scott's on vacation with our friends in New York City, but Jason Bohr is here from the Lignite Energy Council. Welcome to Hour 2, buddy. Welcome back.
Awesome. Great to be here. We just got done talking with Kayla Coe, and one of the projects that she reminded me of we didn't get a chance to bring up was that time-lapse photography project. Her and I talked about reclamation out of the mines. And one of the things that we take great pride on in North Dakota in the mining industry is the reclamation loss. So, you know, back in the day when North Dakota was first getting into the coal mining, recognized the importance of reclaiming that land. So it looked as good as it did, and it was productive on the ag side as it had been prior to mining. So now it's been 6 or 7 years ago, we started a time-lapse photography project where we would take a picture every day, multiple times, and capture the process from the day the dirt started being dug till the day that the crops started coming back up after mining had been completed. So, as you can imagine, that's a long process. It's a multi-year process because the ground is prepped and then it's, mined, and then it's the dirt has to all be put back into place, and then you got to put the crops down, start growing. So we've been doing that for 6, 7, 8 years now, and it's nearing completion. So it's one of those things that when we get it done, we'll promote that and push that out on social media and everywhere so people can see just what it looks like in fast motion. The process of coal mining to keep the lights on in North Dakota. So it's kind of a fun project that we've been working on with BNI's Center Mine, and to understand just exactly how the process works a little bit more. So
we do have Connor.
Connor, you're with us. Hi. We were talking, nice to have you back on our program. I know you've been here before, but we're glad you joined us again.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Hey, we had Congressman Kelly Armstrong on earlier, and one of the things that he talked about was some of the supply constraints that are crunching the coal industry moving into winter, the difficulty in getting coal supplies where they need to be. That's kind of a big picture issue. What does the winter look like as far as electricity? What's your opinion? You know, at National Mining Association, you're taking a broad national look at this. What kind of winter are we looking at?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think supply chain concerns, as we know, are kind of bouncing around every single piece of the economy. Fortunately, when it comes to coal, power plants do have a pretty good cushion on site. The U.S. Energy Information Administration has said that that's smaller than it's been in the past, but you're still looking at weeks and weeks of coal. And what we're seeing is that there is really, really robust demand for coal this winter, particularly because we've got higher natural gas prices in this country. And global demand for gas is through the roof. We've got economies roaring back. We didn't have kind of some of the energy production and investment in energy production over the past couple years that have kind of has been needed to meet this reemerging economic activity. And so, you know, what we're seeing right now in Europe and in the U.S. Is that margins are going to be pretty tight when it comes to making sure that the grid has enough electricity this winter. You know, we've seen some near misses in the past. We have seen in Texas last February what can happen when things don't go as planned. You know, a couple hundred people died in freezing conditions when their grid was down for a couple days. The kind of economic turmoil was in the billions of dollars. We want to make sure that doesn't happen this winter, but there are some very troubling warnings from the North American Electricity Reliability Corporation that looked at several grids in the U.S. and just said, yeah, this is not where we want to be. We need bigger reserve margins. We need more supply. And there's a real threat with kind of extreme bitter cold winter weather that this winter could be a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, it's if everything goes well, then we're good. But we're just not as protected from the unexpected as we have been in the past. And let me ask you this, because I always used to tell people, because I'd say, when is it going to get through to people that our energy policy is leading us down a dangerous path? And I used to say, you know, it's going to take a really serious event where people die for people to understand the dangerous situation that our grid is in. And then you have this horrible disaster in Texas where we did have people perish, needlessly. But did that change people's minds the way it should have? I don't know that it did. What's your opinion?
I don't think it did. Unfortunately, I think we're seeing people kind of retreating to their camps and doubling down on some of the ideas and policies that led to some of this, and an unwillingness to kind of do some soul searching and pivoting to ensure that this doesn't happen again. You know, there have been numerous hearings on what happened in Texas, both in Washington and certainly down in Texas, kind of incomplete answers. But I think, you know, the overarching story that we're starting to get here as we think about this energy transition is that it's a lot easier to take apart a well-operating system than it is to build it back up and make sure that you have something reliable and affordable for people. And frankly, the alternatives just aren't coming as fast. And they don't offer the same services as what we've had in place for a long time. I think what we need is more energy policy that thinks about how we build on the shoulders of what we have and ensures that what we have, particularly well-operating coal plants, are there for the foreseeable future to provide that affordability and reliability that we know we've got to have, as opposed to kind of tearing down this grid and this system that has worked so well for so long before you have any of the alternatives in place. And until we have a rethink in that way, I'm afraid, you know, as these reliability reports keep coming, the things are going to get far worse before they get better.
Yeah. So the other thing that we were talking about with Congressman Armstrong was just the state of our infrastructure. We had a text come in that made a great point that the electricity grid can barely handle what we have now. It's not resilient, to use kind of the accepted term now. What happens when we've got 10 million cars on the road that are running on electricity? I know that's not you guys' primary area of focus, but give us your opinion. Like, what are we looking at when you start adding additional load to the grid next?
Yeah, I think that is, you know, in some ways, Andy, I guess we used to say the $1 million question. Maybe we're now in the trillions. We have had this period of relatively flat electricity demand, looking backwards, and a lot of planning and thinking has gone about, well, you know, efficiency is going to handle this, but that is about to come to a screeching halt. We are about to see soaring electricity demand in this country, really driven by moving to an electrified transportation fleet. The government itself, the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, I think, did a study that said the actual bulk electricity system has to double in capacity to keep wow. up with pivoting to an all-electric future, whether that's 2050, sooner or later. You know, it's not just about keeping what we've got. You got to double it. And it's really, really difficult to think about how that's going to happen, particularly with the state of the existing grid. And as we see much better at taking apart what we have than building new.
Hey, we're going to come back to this subject after the break.
What's on your mind? 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. More coming up.
This is Todd. He's a North Dakota farmer and customer of High Plains Apache.
Advanced in boom height control and PWM nozzle control systems, everything just gets better every year, and that seems to be what drives guys to trade. You know, we run a couple different GPS systems. Raven stuff is factory installed. We actually do a plug-and-play with John Deere controls now, too. It's come in handy, and there's a lot of red sprayers on all green farms.
You can find High Plains Apache online at highplainsapache.com.
So DJ Coulter's my insurance agent, American Family Insurance. I want him to be yours, too. I really do. And DJ, tell folks what you do differently at DJ Coulter Agency with the business lines.
Well, Scotty, we sit down with business owners and we ask them a lot of questions to make sure that truly have their world protected. And you need to have not just your liability, you need to not just have your building, any assets in the building. Now we have cyber liability coming at us.
DJ Coulter, American Family Insurance, 235-6641, djcoulter.com.
North Dakota Truck Wash, the Bakken's premier all-in-one location stop for all of your vehicle's wash needs. Commercial vehicles, standard semis, work trucks, pickup trucks, SUVs, and even motorhomes. Plus, you won't find better customer service anywhere. Find North Dakota Truck Wash conveniently located behind Senex in Stanley on the truck bypass. Open 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday or call 628-1550. 628-1550. Online at ndtruckwash.com.
Action Movers is hiring warehousemen, movers, packers, drivers, Bismarck, Fargo, Minot. No experience necessary. Part-time, full-time positions available. All you need to do is pass a background check. If you have a Class A CDL, wow, what an opportunity. Never been a better time to join the moving industry. Offering one of the most lucrative compensation plans they've ever had for employee drivers, owner-operators, local, regional, over-the-road opportunities, including a program to help you become an owner-operator. Find out more at their offices in Bismarck, Fargo, or Minot, or call 566-5532.
Action Movers.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
So what's on your mind? 800-228-0550 if you want to weigh in. Brought to you by our friends at Gateway Building Systems. 60 plus years of service, 3 locations, 5-star service. Gateway Building Systems has gained a hard-earned reputation as a design-build contractor that holds experience, quality, reliability, and safety above everything else. They strive to take you further. It's commercial, farm grain equipment, storage, commercial buildings. They've got what you need. Gateway Building Systems, number one Brock bin dealer in the country as well. Locally owned, provides turnkey convenience, factory direct product. Complete design services as well, in-house construction. Gateway Building Systems will provide you with the Brock Bin, solid bins and grain dryers, millwright services, lags, towers, conveyors. Stop into one of the Gateway's three locations, West Fargo, Fergus Falls, or Jamestown. Just have a chat with one of the team members. Learn more about the ag operations and how they can help you. Commercial building options as well. Start planning your future at gatewaybuilding.com, gatewaybuilding.com, or call us 1-800-747-4499, 800-747-4499. Gateway has grain bin storage in stock. All right, ask about the seasonal discounts as well. So what's on your mind? Jason Moore from Lignite Energy Council is in for Scott Hennin today. Jason, good to have you back.
Great to be here, and we're visiting with Connor Bernstein from National Mining Association. And, Connor, we're going to have just a small lesson in economics. And then I'm going to ask you a couple questions about how that economics lesson is going to impact our policy. So in economics, there's a term, it's called Jevons paradox. And this paradox occurs when technological progress increases the efficiency of a utilization of a resource, but then the rate of consumption increases, right? So that's kind of LED light bulbs is a good example. You know, we make our light bulbs more efficient, so people buy more light bulbs. And we don't really see the energy savings that we might see otherwise. And electric vehicles that we were talking about before the break is probably going to result in that same paradox where maybe the cost per mile goes down, but people are going to drive more, or the possibility exists that they're going to drive more. So this strain on the grid that we're talking about could be even greater than anticipated as people say, hey, I don't have to consume. I can go out for a Sunday drive that's 150 miles. I don't have to just drive around the block. And that paradox could drive energy usage even higher and increase that strain on the grid. And we are just not ready for it. And that energy strain, we're already feeling it going into this winter, Connor. And what else are you worried about as far as electricity usage and mining issues?
Well, I'm just glad you didn't ask me to do any math.
Right?
Yeah. I think you're on to something here, which, you know, it's not just electric vehicles. It's also autonomous vehicles. You know, they're kind of being held out like a white whale. You know, we're not sure if we'll ever get there, but certainly there are enough companies working on them. And when you have an autonomous vehicle that's driving for you, that you have these kind of autonomous taxi fleets in every city, you know, are we simply going to be developing technology that is a lot more energy intensive than what it's replacing?
Right. Even if the rate of efficiency might be higher, the utilization is going to be higher as well. So.
Yeah, the utilization is going to go up. It's you know, people, whatever move there has been in urban areas to kind of get people back into cities, perhaps people decide that they want to go back out into the suburbs, or they want to kind of live in more rural areas when it's cheaper and easier to move than ever before. And I think these are all things we have to think about, and certainly they're going to dictate how we need to think about putting energy onto the grid and into our energy systems.
Yeah.
And it also is a reminder that we are really going to be putting all of our eggs into one basket, which is the electricity grid. You know, if you had a kind of diversified energy equation when it came to, well, you've got natural gas systems, you've got oil, you also have electricity generation, increasingly, it's all going to be on the grid. And what we've found out and what we are finding out in real time is that the grid's not in very good shape. And building out, whether it's new transmission infrastructure or even building renewable capacity, is a heck of a thing. It's really, really hard to do. People don't want this capacity in their backyard. You know, even in parts of the country that are most supportive of a renewable future, you know, that maybe New England comes to mind. New transmission lines after transmission lines, which are supposed to be carrying renewable energy to demand centers, keep getting voted down. A $1 billion project in Maine that was going to bring hydropower from Canada down to Boston, was just voted down. It's the second time that power line has been voted down.
Wow.
So, you know, as I was saying, this idea that we are taking apart a system much, much faster than we can replace it.
Yeah. Parts of those systems, you know, we talk about coal, right, you and I, but National Mining Association digs the components that go into everything. You dig the components that go into renewable energy, and these components are, you know, lithium, cobalt, rare earth elements. Our infrastructure doesn't support the production of those minerals either. And what are you seeing as far as challenges with some of these other minerals that are necessary for modern life? Are we doing enough to prepare for the shortages to come in those elements?
Absolutely not. You know, whatever challenges we're facing over on the electricity grid are even more robust, even more alarming when it comes to kind of the materials industrial base that's needed for this energy future, as well as kind of every other part of our economy. We're looking at global demand for lithium exploding 100-fold by mid-century. We have one operating lithium mine in the U.S. Copper demand is going to grow just in the next few decades more than it has in the past 1,000 years. You know, the numbers here, and these are being put out by the International Energy Agency, the World Bank, one reputable think tank after another here in D.C. and in Europe are staggering. This kind of energy future that we're talking about is much, much more materials intensive than the energy present. And we simply don't have the industrial base in this country anymore to produce these things. Now, the problem is not geology. We have vast mineral resources in this country. We have lithium in Nevada and California, Arkansas, North Carolina, and even a world-class resource up in Maine. But getting new mines into production, permitting them, making sure that we can bring new industrial projects online is increasingly difficult. And it's really mismatched with the speed at which the demand for these minerals is coming.
And the breadth of the utilization of these minerals boggles the mind as well. When the show started, I mentioned that I was talking with one of our folks about car stereo equipment. And even that is dominated by rare earth minerals. Your phone, your fridge, everything has the things that you're talking about that we are just not doing a great job of producing. So, Connor, thank you for being with us. Your insight is always welcome. And keep the minerals flowing, because minerals make life, and we appreciate the work that you have done.
Or what's in your mind on the way? 701-258-0550-1800-228-0550.
Hello, this is Mark Wagner with ND Estate Services.
I'm here, and I'm just asking one of my clients kind of what their experiences were doing their estate plan. Would you be willing just to share a couple thoughts on that, Mark?
I went into the experience without, I guess, just a very general knowledge from friends and coworkers as to, you know, what we really should be doing, but without much of a framework, certainly no knowledge of the details involved. Mark was very helpful, presenting all the options, ultimately walking us through the whole process of setting up the system and challenge, because I don't live right here where my mom does. We see each other when I visit, so there was a lot of coordination involved, and he really helped us out with that, too.
Let us help you, too.
Call us now. You'll be glad you did. That's 701-318-0908.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
As Russia masses troops on the Ukrainian border, a video conference call between Presidents Biden and Putin started a dialogue. President Biden from Russia State Media.
Good to see you again. Unfortunately, last time we didn't get to see one another at the G20. I hope next time we meet, we do it in person.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
Gas is not currently flowing through the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which means that it's not operating. It is a leverage for the West because if Vladimir Putin wants to see gas flow through that pipeline, he may not want to take the risk of invading Ukraine.
It should be noted the media was barred from the meeting and the White House is not releasing a transcript. Olaf Scholz was voted in as Germany's new chancellor on Wednesday, bringing an end to Angela Merkel's four terms at the helm of Europe's largest economy. USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Is What's on Your Mind. Welcome back. Brought to you by our friends at PetroServe USA. Helping America fuel better. Home of the 4 for $4. That's a personal pan pizza, 20-ounce pop, and two cookies for $4 all day, every day. And the month of December, grab a bag of Old Trapper deli sticks. $10.99 for a big bag of those bad boys. And, of course, daily lunch specials made from scratch every day across the neighborhood at PetroServe USA. Helping America fuel better. Also brought to you by our friends at Advanced Business Methods. Do you know that they're an employee-owned company? They're right here in the neighborhood. It means your money stays here. And one thing I didn't realize is that hackers can get into your servers through your printers if you're not careful. ABM understands that. The security risks provide products and software to keep the outside world out and your network safe, period. Advanced Business Methods. Soon having their 50th anniversary, too. 50 years of serving the business community. Best products, best service you'll find anywhere. Online at abmnow.com. abmnow.com. What I like about them, they're there. They're when you call, you're not calling some other country. You're getting local service done right here at abmnow.com. Jason Bohr from Lignite Energy Council is in for Scotty today on What's On Your Mind. Always good to have you on here, my friend.
Glad to be here. We've had some good conversations this morning talking about energy issues, what's going on in the country, supply chain crunch, what will power and build our lives in the coming years is an increasing reliance upon electricity. And for those of us in North Dakota who recognize the importance of the oil industry as well, just because there are electric vehicles, that means that we can use petroleum products for things that will continue to fuel our vehicles, but also build them and free up that valuable petroleum to be used for the parts of our lives that are depending upon that supply chain. You know, a lot of people don't realize that just about everything you build can be traced back to the petroleum industry. You know, natural gas is refined. I don't know if that's the right term, but it's used to make plastics. It's used to make components. And so all of life comes from the ground in one way or the other. You know, in North Dakota, when we go someplace to an event, we could tell people that your life really begins in North Dakota because the food for the world comes from here. You look at how many things come out of the ground that are shipped around. For people to eat, for fuel, for vehicles and people. It's amazing the story that we have to tell in North Dakota. We got Mike Nassy coming on, and Mike is from Texas, lived through that Texas blackout that we referenced, has a little bit of insight there. And, Mike, thanks for joining us this morning.
Great to be on, Jason.
Hey, we were talking, previous segment about what happened in Texas. And we asked the question, do people get it? Because we used to really say that it would take a disaster for people's eyes to be opened. And I don't feel like that happened yet. And I asked Connor in the last segment if he thought that, but you're right down there in the thick of things. Did people's eyes get open during this last blackout?
You know, I think they did. The problem is the area of electric utility regulation and natural gas distribution is just so archaic and detailed for most people that it's hard for folks to get their arms around it, right? You know, the first indicator of whether we, you know, quote, get it, end quote, down here is, you know, what did the political leadership do in response, right? So the first thing that I can say is that despite what some in the media have said about how the legislature didn't do much, you know, they passed an overwhelming amount of market reform coming out of the storm in the spring legislative session, which immediately led to the governor issuing, I think, one of the most important letters any governor has issued in the electricity space on July 6th, which basically said, hey, we've studied the storm. We had hundreds of hours of hearings. And here are the four things we've got to do. And number one on that list is to better value reliability and resilience and level the playing field that's going on right now that's unleveled, that's leading to the retirement of coal and gas plants while we continue to add intermittence to our grid. It was just absolutely unequivocal statement from the top of the governor's office, which was backed up by legislation that, frankly, passed with overwhelming bipartisan support. So this was not really a one-sided political response. It was actually pretty comprehensive. Okay. The second item on that list was to actually allocate costs to renewables for their intermittence to the extent that they impose a reliability penalty on the system. The third was that we need to make sure transmission is robust, not just for renewables, but actually to make sure we have transmission that supports dispatchable generation. And then, of course, you know, we've got to make sure that power plants in Texas are adequately weatherized. There were some mistakes made in the grid and in the natural gas supply system that are, you know, in the process of getting remedied. But, you know, the I will say, myth of the storm that, oh, it was all about weatherization is just flat out wrong, because the data shows that even if we actually had all of our fleet weatherized, we still would have had over 24 hours of outages, because we have a full third of our fleet that is weather dependent. And when the weather doesn't cooperate, that's too much of the grid, right, to just turn off and expect everything to work well, especially when the wind is blowing and the sun is shining. The vast majority of the dispatchable generation is forced to drop off the grid, and even in the ERCOT market actually pay to stay online. So the answer is that the legislature and the governor have responded. Now, whether the public and public opinion is adequately focused on what really caused the problem is a different story, and one that I think will play out in the coming weeks, months, and years as we see other events happen, because we're going to see events like this. We already have in other countries. We've already seen it in California. The fact that it happened in Texas should be a dramatic reminder. But time will tell in terms of whether these reforms take hold in Texas over the lobby objections of the renewable industry, and then whether other states do what I would call preventive maintenance and learn the lessons of the Texas market.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things that it makes it hard to assess the response, is that the public demands an immediate response. And what happens is there's this tribalism in the energy industry where somebody immediately wants to point a finger and say, hey, this is the cause. And somebody else says, hey, it wasn't us. And somebody else says, told you so. But those are 24-hour responses. And you can't understand, for instance, the impact of the weatherization in the first 24 hours or first month or whatever it is. But you have to dig into that and say, the weatherization did X. Here are the other contributing factors that made the lack of weatherization better, worse, or what, you know, what have you. And those mitigating or compounding factors take time to understand. And what did it do to the consumer cost? I hear these stories that costs are going through the roof now to pay for this. What's happening there?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the one thing that will never be understood is what the total economic impact of the event was when you factor in the cost of the outages, because even though there have been estimates and, you know, of tens of even maybe even $100 billion, who knows, there's lots of numbers get thrown around. The fact is that a full half of the power that's consumed in the state of Texas is consumed to make stuff, make petrochemicals, make beer, make paper, make steel, make semiconductors, right? All of those facilities, and I mean all of those facilities, encountered massive disruption. In the chemical industry alone, it took months for that industry to come back up. So we'll never actually have a full understanding of the economic consequence of the reliability event. But what we do know is that just in terms of the electricity that got sold that week, more economic activity, more dollars were exchanged for electricity in that week than the prior 2 years combined. And that's just in the day-ahead and real-time markets. That's not the 85% of the market that's actually contracted and hedged ahead of time.
Yeah.
So that just kind of blows your mind. So I'll say it's well in excess of $20 to $30 billion and probably more like $100. And then the macroeconomic is, you know, north of that. It's just, you know, it's hard to get people's minds around, but the Texas market is just so huge.
Yeah.
It's bigger than the next two electricity markets combined. And from an industrial standpoint, it's bigger than the next three industrial consumer states combined. So, you know, it's not good that it happened, but if it was going to happen to a state, at least it happened to a state that can control its own destiny because it's got jurisdiction over its own grid and doesn't have to wait for FERC to act. And it happened in a state where I believe the leadership has the right conservative principles and will get their head around these problems. That doesn't mean that major tribalism, as you said, Jason, isn't going to make it very hard because there's a lot of money involved in the businesses that have invested in renewable energy in Texas. And it's just going to take a balancing by the leadership, because the continued flow of federal subsidies is going to occur. And we have to account for that in the market design.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, that you talk about these secondary impacts. You know, you buy an item with a semiconductor in it that was made in Texas, the price of that could be going up by 30% because of this. And imagine the economic harm that happened to those industries who, you know, I remember reading the statistics once of one of the manufacturers that are losing $1,000 a minute for each minute they're offline. Why they invest millions in these backup generators, right? Because they have to be on all the time. And
right.
That cascades. But, you know, the macro sometimes is the headline, but where it hurts is the pocketbooks of, you know, the average Texan. It doesn't matter if the macro is $100 billion or $20 billion. If that person's monthly bill is going up by 20%, because at that point, that's when it starts coming out of the middle class, when people can't go to the movies that they wanted to, or can't go take the family out to dinner because instead, you know, they're paying for this policy choices that didn't need to be done the way they were done.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the biggest problem we have is there's just not enough transparency in the price of electricity. People don't get it, you know, as far as the federal subsidies, it's billions of dollars buried in trillion-dollar legislation, right? And in the state level, the dollars are spread out. And some might rationalize, well, that's a hedge against consumer impact. Well, tell that to a co-op member in Texas's Brazos Electric Cooperative System that just got exposed to $2 to $3 billion of exposure in the Texas market with absolutely no way to escape that cost. They're going to be paying for that.
Next 30 years. We'll talk more after the break.
701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550 for What's on Your Mind.
Help preserve your wealth. Successful investing requires more than just selecting the right stocks or bonds. It also requires avoiding big mistakes that can harm your financial future. Call Collins and Kronk to get your free no-obligation report, The 8 Great Financial Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Let the advisors at Collins and Kronk explain some common pitfalls investors make, and more importantly, how to avoid them. Steering clear of any of these key mistakes could greatly improve your ability to reach your investing goals. Given the current news and the uncertainty in the financial markets, you may wonder how you'll keep your own portfolio on track to help meet your financial goals. Get the free, no-obligation report, The 8 Great Financial Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Call the advisors at Collins & Kronk today and ask for the report. Collins & Kronk, 701-235-0119. 701-235-0119. Collins & Kronk is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services. Securities offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., located 300 NP Avenue, Fargo, Suite 108.
Hi, Gus here from Precision Concrete Cutters Ramjack North. Due to the lack of the moisture in the soil, we've been experiencing more calls regarding foundation movement. Lack of moisture causes soil to contract and pull away from your foundation. If you notice dirt pulling away from your home, you'll need to make sure that you don't have bigger issues. Cracks in your sheetrock or outside walls, sloped floors, sticking doors and windows. Contact us today at 701-280-7038. Precision Concrete Cutters Ramjack North, your complete foundation experts.
PetroServe USA, helping America feel better with the lowest price fuel around and lots of choice at the pump. Plus, great deals all month long, like any size coffee or cappuccino, 49 cents. Pizza Corner Pizza, 2 for $11. Old Trapper Deli Sticks, $10.99. Energizer batteries, any size, a buck off. And ball caps and queen size blankets, $5 off. Plus, the 4 for 4 deal, pizza, 2 cookies, 20 ounce drink, $4. PetroServe USA, helping America feel better.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insists on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Is burning bright, shining all on me. I see the presence underneath the good old Christmas tree.
What's on your mind? Powered by Schwann Buick GMC.com. Winter, well, it's not here on the calendar just yet, but it certainly seems to be here in North Dakota. At Schwann Buick GMC, there's a great selection of local trains, especially SUVs and pickups. Most come with Schwann's lifetime powertrain warranty. Right now, save thousands in interest with some of the lowest finance rates you can get. Payments to fit every budget. They'll give you the most money for your trade-in. Might even buy it outright. Schwann Buick GMC, where your warranty lasts a lifetime. Online at SchwannBuickGMC.com. 10 before the hour, no truth to the rumor we just started that Scott Hennin's the one that burned down the Christmas tree at Fox in New York City. apparently they drove by there about 2 hours before that got burned, and they're going to be on at 6:30 Central Time tomorrow with Janice Dean and a new tree by that point. Dang. So you'll be able to check that out. Jason Bohr from the Late Night Energy Council is filling in on What's in Your Mind.
And it's great to be here. We're talking with Mike Nassy about energy, electricity issues. And kind of the detrimental impacts that come from bad legislative policy. But shifting gears for a minute, Mike, a lot of the bad policy comes through litigation, through the court system. And right now we have in the North Dakota energy industry kind of an unprecedented opportunity to have a different outcome in the courts. There is a Supreme Court opportunity about the Affordable Clean Energy Rule that you are thick in the middle of, as is much of the state of North Dakota. Do you want to take a minute and kind of let our listeners in on what's going on between the state of North Dakota, the Supreme Court?
Yeah, you bet, Jason. It's a great honor to represent Lignite Energy Council in this federal litigation. You know, the Attorney General for North Dakota has banded together with a bunch of other states, I think 19 total, following suit, basically to test the administrative law principles that have been in play for too long in our country, where the judiciary is just giving the executive branch much too much room to infer authority from Congress without the express statutory authority they need. And what I mean by that is, you know, our system of environmental laws basically involves statutes that get passed by Congress, and the states implement their own pieces of that. But the executive branch, you know, in the form of EPA is one example, often decides to move out of its role as environmental regulator and turn into energy policymaker because, frankly, the president at the time gets frustrated that Congress isn't doing enough. That was painfully felt during the Obama administration, where EPA attempted the Clean Power Plan, which is just this extraordinary expansion of EPA's authority to regulate basically the entire economy for carbon dioxide.
And what you're talking about, at its most simple form, you take it back to fourth grade or whatever, is the legislative branch makes the rules and the executive branch implements them. And what you're talking about is when the executive branch says, I want to do something different, but the legislative branch, being responsive to the people, is not doing it, then the president can't just say, hey, I'm going to do it anyway. And that's kind of where you're going.
Works is if Congress doesn't pass bills, it's because there isn't enough consensus among the electorate, right? So that's the great check and balance that we have in our three branches of government, right? Separation of powers. And so what's happening in the Supreme Court, real time, I mean, I'm literally going to be delivering Jason a draft brief here tonight, probably maybe even tomorrow morning, at 2 or 3 in the morning. Who knows how long it'll take to get this. We're herding cats here, because the good news is LEC is being joined in their brief by a huge number of coal associations from across the country, geographically spread from West Virginia all the way to Utah and Wyoming. So what we're doing is the North Carolina, you know, North Dakota and like I said, 19 other states are teeing up something, and then the Supreme Court has granted review, which is very rare. Supreme Court grants review on only a very small handful of things. So it's a great sign that the Supreme Court wants to rule on this issue, and it's right to what Jason just said. Without getting into the details of the rule, the basic principle is, listen, regulating carbon dioxide at power plants in a way that would shut down a huge swath of fossil-powered power plants, you know, more than half of the coal plants, maybe even more than that, and a few natural gas plants, that's something that has such vast significance, not just on the power fleet, but also on the economies of the industry, of, you know, the states that have, for example, coal, right? Ultimately, natural gas, too. That's too significant, too much impact economically and politically to infer from kind of vague provisions of the act. They've got to get a directive from Congress that's much more explicit. The fancy legal term for this doctrine is called non-delegation. It's not appropriate to assume that Congress delegated to the executive branch something of such vast significance that it would just hand its legislative power over to the executive to go make policy on that big a front. And the Supreme Court of the United States has taken up review of this area of regulating carbon dioxide at power plants as a way to study the application of that doctrine. And I'm a little bullish, pretty confident that the court has indicated by taking this case, it wants to make some law on this space and say, no, EPA, can't just go roving around making energy policy because the president at the time might be frustrated that Congress isn't willing to impose a carbon tax or something like that. And so we're going to get a very important case heard. They'll hear it in February. We'll have an opinion by the summer. And we're going to make some very important law. And thanks to LEC, Jason, and of course our North Dakota political leadership, we're seeing, you know, we're kind of leading the way and teeing this issue up, and have been successful in getting the court to take it, and that's going to be a great opportunity for us.
Thanks a lot for the update and your expertise on this issue.
North Dakotans know a thing or two about energy and the environment. Our electricity rates are some of the lowest in the nation, and we are among only 17 states that meet all federal air quality standards. Coal has always been a big part of our energy success story. As the most resilient source of power, it keeps our electricity affordable and reliable, provides high-quality jobs, and boosts our economy. The coal industry in North Dakota accounts for more than 13,000 good-paying jobs and $5.4 billion in economic impact. Lignite also plays a pivotal role along with oil and gas revenue, providing nearly $1,600 per student to districts across the state. We know that to continue our regional prosperity, we need an all-of-the-above energy strategy that includes coal to make sure our homes and businesses have the electricity they need when they need it. Learn more at www.lignite.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.